Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I guess we're early for the class.
Well, I thought we were just on time.
Yeah.
Isn't it 4 o'clock?
Just about 1 minute too.
But it starts at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, what time zone are you in?
I'm in Pacific time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm Eastern, so it's 7 o'clock over here.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. This is Dave Kruger. Welcome to the Persuasion and Neuromarketing Seminar Series. This will be recorded, each of the four, and playback will be on the page that you received where you should have gotten the outline, and it will be posted within the next day. So I'd like to have a little bit of discussion at the beginning, at least, of each of the seminars. So right now, in these four seminars, we're going to discuss applying the mind and brain sciences to marketing your services and products. So in the first few minutes, if we were to sit down right now face-to-face, what's the most important question you have about this topic in one sentence? Just identify yourself and say what the question is that you want to be sure that we cover in this series.
I'm Carrie Lewis, and I'm basically here to learn how to do a better job of marketing my services.
Okay. You're in for a treat, so welcome, Terry. Thank you.
Thank
great.
You.
All right, who else?
This is Denise, and...
Hey.
Actually, hi. I took your class before, actually.
I hear you.
So I'm actually hoping to learn how to turn, I'm not really sure, it's kind of expensive, into a yes.
I'm sorry, would you say that again, to turn what now?
Sure. Like, how to turn the, you know, coaching is a little expensive, I don't know if I can afford you right now, how to convince them to say yes.
Okay. Okay, great. We will definitely come back to that because it's an investment. And it is expensive. Mm-hmm. It should be expensive as a good investment is. So we'll definitely come back to that, Denise. Thank you. Who else? Mm-hmm.
This is Colleen, and I'm interested.
Hey.
Hi there, and I'm interested in getting to that yes also.
Okay. You, of course, know that the yes has to begin in your head, then it will be contagious. So we'll talk about that, too. Thank you. Who else? What else?
Hi. This is Catherine Sivinsky, and I would like to I'm looking forward to finding out about the yes to gain clients and also the integration between what I say, who I am, what I'm doing, the how and the why. I really enjoyed reading that part, the first part. So just how it's all integrated and works together.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Great questions, each of you. Thank you. Who else?
I'm Nora, and I'm simply wanting to learn whatever I can about how to get coaching clients. And I totally get it that it starts with me. If I believe it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great question and observation. So thanks. Who else? What else? Let me ask it slightly differently. What is the most important thing that you want to be sure that you walk away with? If you were to walk away 4 weeks from now saying it's one of the most successful seminar series you've ever been in, what would you walk away with?
This is Denise. I guess then if you're rephrasing it like that, a better way to market my services, particularly on social media.
Okay.
This is Nora. For me, it would be belief in myself.
Okay. Great. Super. I totally agree with you that that's first, and we're gonna spend some time talking about aspects of that. And who else? I talked over someone.
Oh no, that's okay. This is Catherine. And I agree with Nora, believing in myself, and I think that's where trying to understand the integration between what I say I do on my business card and in all of my material and how it relates back to the prospective client during a sample session that I do, how to convey that
okay.
belief in myself and the value that I am here to give to somebody.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else want to add in a sentence what's the most important thing that you want to take away from this series?
Hello. My name is Grace, and I would like to take away, basically, I would like to believe in myself and to have the courage to charge what my services are worth. And to convey that to the client so that they could feel that they just are getting the value for the service.
Okay. All right, great. Anyone else? Thank you, Grace. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to put us on lecture mode so you don't have to worry about background noise, and we'll come back and have a brief discussion at the end. Thank you for managing the background noise, and jot down anything you want to discuss, and we'll come back to that and do that again briefly at the end. Okay, we're going to talk about massive success strategies for your business, some effective applications of influence psychology, persuasion science, and neuromarketing. So here's the premise and the overview. Practicing professionals in healthcare, law, finance, accounting, business, and coaching are well-educated and trained, but we may reluctantly acknowledge that we're also in business. We're able to help others achieve their goals, but we may still be learning how to translate that into doing the same for our own practices and businesses. So here's what we'll do together in these 4 weeks. Innovative work in the mind and brain sciences help us understand more about the topics of our 4 seminars on the psychology of influence, the neuroscience of persuasion, mindset mastery, and neuromarketing. Those are the 4 topics to apply each to add immensely to your business success. Specifically, how these brain-based strategies of the persuasion sciences can generate measurable improvement of engagement and sales for your professional services and products. This is a system of creating rather than a method of hoping. So, first seminar, and again, this is in your outline. The important aspects are there so that you can just listen and see if it makes sense. If you haven't, and at least do it before next time, print out the outline. Here's an influence quiz. This is in your outline. The American Sociological Review studied the hiring practices of 3 elite industries, law, investment banking, and management consulting firms, to determine the primary criteria for those qualified to make the final round of interviews. So what do you think it was of these 5? Intellectual prestige, where they got their degree, grade point average, sharing similar experiences as the interviewer, expertise in the area of the position sought, or recommendation for the position. Jot down your answer. I'll tell you later. I'll even tell you why I didn't tell you until later. So, influence is simply to enhance the likelihood of a choice, to heighten the probability of agreement and predictability. Influence moves people to a desired outcome while helping them genuinely feel good about themselves and you. So, let's talk about the brain science of story. Now, these are also 4 questions. Jot down your answers. I'll tell you sooner this time because the reason I'm holding off on the answers is a neuroscience principle in action. So, jot down your first impression just quickly. What draws you into a story? What sustains your engagement as a listener or reader? What are you responding to when a story engages you? And what determines bestsellers from non-sellers? And a hint here, all 4 have the same answer. The answer to all 4 questions, we must want to know what happens next. A story is hardwired in our brain. It's how we strategically make sense of an overwhelming world and how we remember. For a story to capture and sustain interest, from the first sentence, the reader or listener must want to know what happens next. When a story meets these neural requirements of novelty and anticipation, it engages and remains successful. Neuroscience shows that what draws us into a story and keeps us there is the firing of the dopamine system, the pleasure chemical, signaling that intriguing information is unfolding. This holds our attention. So, what do you want your reader or listener to walk away thinking about? What point does your story make? How do you want to change the way your listener or reader sees the world? If the recipient doesn't want to know what happens next, no matter how well crafted, won't be engaged. Cisco CEO John Chambers didn't communicate to employees, clients, or colleagues about selling switchers and routers. He sold a story, a vision of an internet that changes the way we live, work, play, and learn. Starbucks founder Howard Schultz didn't sell coffee and lattes, but the concept of community, a third place between home and work. And listen to how Steve Jobs convinced former Pepsi president John Sculley at the time to become CEO of Apple. They were on a balcony overlooking Central Park in New York City, and Jobs simply asked Sculley, "You want to sell sugared water all your life, or you want to change the world?" The essence of influence is based in the brain's need for a story. We have a biology for reciprocation, an innate desire to bond, to connect. Story is an essential element of explanation to bring together and balance the emotional and the rational. If your business is not based on a story, you won't have a business. All good stories give a promise in the beginning, a promise that it will be worth your time. You invite the listener to join the campfire of your story. Once upon a time. Storytelling, like life, has guidelines, not rules. In order to engage a listener or reader, write or tell a vivid story about your service, product, or brand. Include aspects that would activate different parts of the brain, action, dialogue, sensory experiences. Let's look first now at the influential story pattern. Nancy Duarte has studied the craft of storytelling and dramatic plot structure by analyzing hundreds of the most famous speeches of all time and testing different story structures. She discovered a story pattern at the foundation of the most influential speeches of all time. It's a combination of what is, followed by what could be, for several sequences. She superimposed the sequence of the patterns on the talks of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, Steve Jobs' well-known graduation speech, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, to name a few of the hundreds she studied methodically. Each fit the same configuration pattern, a series of what is followed by what can be. So, here's a way to create that influential story pattern. The context, the preface, is that your story has to be in your own voice. It has to sound like you're talking, even if it's written. To create a clear and compelling story about your body of work, find a thread of connection with your audience as you craft specific messages. It has to sound, again, like you talking, not reading a script, and be genuine, authentic, as if the person is sitting across from you at the coffee shop. Now, for all stories, there are three story components: the challenge, the development, and the resolution. So we're going to begin by answering the question of how do you get someone to say yes, and we're going to apply this. These building blocks are common to all successful stories, from effective marketing to best-selling novels and films. So, as I describe these three story components, think about how you can apply them in two ways. Having a brief discussion with a client about your services, and especially recommending your professional services after a discussion. So, let's develop these three story building blocks. One, the challenge. Find the client's challenge, the problem, or the pain. Don't start with information or anything about you. This is about the client, the problem or pain, the challenge the client has. Find the deep want or interest that's not fulfilled, what they want but aren't getting, what they're not able to do or be themselves that they need your help with. This is the only thing they'll pay you for. The foundation of effective influence is to first highlight, meaning you have to figure it out and ask about it, the challenge or the unmet need. So, know the audience and three things about them: their deepest needs, their deepest desires, and their deepest concerns. From this knowledge, describe a situation as your audience knows it. What is? You are articulating what they already know and experience. This creates a bond of understanding, a common ground between you and the audience, and readies them to hear your ideas for change. This is the first part of that sequence. What is? Second, the development. The development of a story is to move from the challenge ultimately to a resolution, to their desired goal. For this, it's helpful to know a client's external goal and what achieving that goal means, what their motivation, their purpose is. The internal goal involves what achieving the external goal really means to that person. So to further the story development, consider, again, from the client's point of view, these questions. Will it give me what I want and need? Will it be worth it? Will I be able to justify it? And do I need it now? 3, the story resolution. Show them how to solve their challenge, how to address their issue by using your product or service. The mind and brain both seek closure. You help your client clearly and accurately associate a desired feeling or state with your product or service. The resolution needs a powerful ending. Make it compelling and real. They will then authentically associate buying with pleasure and not buying with pain. I'm going to come back to that next seminar. We want emotionally, but justify logically. Find the emotional reason, their reason to buy now. The reason we do whatever we do is how we imagine we're going to feel when we do it. So, for example, notice the first thing that you saw in the email about this series, the what is. Do you have significant expertise and credentials but not enough clients? Followed by, in the bullets of the benefits, the first bullet corresponding, the what can be. You will learn how to specifically shape the primary reason people buy professional services and highlight what will develop and resolve it. As you move back and forth between what is and what can be, you'll optimize your influence. Go back to that email if you have it, because bullet by bullet, with the challenge and the benefits, they correspond. Each of the 6 answers the what is. A specific application. To recommend your professional services at the end of a sample session, at the end of a discussion, think about these 3 story components and do it very succinctly. Most often, people use way too many words and you lose people. So 3 steps. The challenge. Summarize the client's challenge in 1 sentence. The development, how you can help and what you recommend. The resolution, your mentor coaching recommendation, including the framework and the fee. Again, 3 sentences. The fuel that propels these 3 building blocks of all compelling stories, challenge, development, and resolution, is emotion. The best stories lead with the heart, that is, an empathic resonance. Emotional transportation is the complex system of action and reaction that operates within stories to move listeners. The stories that really work transport the listener emotionally. In any business context, if you fail to transport your listener emotionally, you'll lose the audience or simply get no response. So now let's look at 4 primary tools of influence psychology. 1, the influential story pattern. Why do you think Apple is so innovative? Year after year, they're more innovative than their competition, and yet they're just a computer and tech products company. They have the same access to the same talent, agencies, consultants, and media. So what accounts for their phenomenal success? Why is it that Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement? He wasn't the only person who suffered in pre-civil rights America, and he certainly wasn't the only great orator of his day. Why him? Well, as it turns out, there's a pattern. All the great and inspiring leaders and organizations in the world think, act, and communicate in a similar pattern that is the antithesis to everyone else. A marketing message from computer companies like Dell, Hewlett-Packard, dozens of others is, we make great computers. They're beautifully designed, state-of-the-art, user-friendly. Want to buy one? Often with a lot more information. That's how most of marketing is done, to say what you do, how you're different and better, and then hope people will respond by buying your services and products, to hope they'll see it the way you see it. But people rarely believe that what they do is as awesome as we believe it is when we say it and what we do. So here's how Steve Jobs communicated about Apple. I think you always have to be a little different to buy an Apple computer. I think the people who do buy them are the creative spirits of the world. They're the people that are not out just to get a job done. They're out to change the world, and they're out to change the world by using whatever great tools they can get. A lot of times, people think they're crazy, but in that craziness, we see genius, and we make tools for those kind of people. In the summer of 1963, 250,000 people showed up on the mall in Washington, D.C. to hear Dr. King speak. No invitations, no website to check the date. How did that happen? Dr. King didn't go around telling people what needed to change in America. He went around and told people what he believed. And people who believed what he believed took his cause and they made it their own. And they told people. And some of those people created structures to get the word out to even more people. 250,000 people showed up the right day, the right time, to hear him speak. Now, how many of them showed up for him? Zero. Well, maybe three. They showed up for themselves. It's what they believed about America that got them to travel on a bus for up to a dozen hours and stand in the sun in D.C. in the middle of August. It's what they believed, and it wasn't about black versus white. Over 25% of the audience was white. So no matter how talented, skilled, experienced, hardworking, and unique you are, unless you determine the major factors that influence the ways others think and act, your success will be limited. This does not equate at all with manipulation, but with consistently generating authentic personal and professional satisfaction while making the lives of others considerably better. I've seen some of the most talented and well-trained people in the world with stellar academic backgrounds and exceptional training accomplish barely average results because they did not master people and the influence skill that truly resonate to engage others. And I've seen people who master these skills soar personally and professionally. One key principle of influence has been around a while, from Dale Carnegie. Ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. This means that for the ultimate influence, we must first ask the question, what's in it for them? The greatest story command, make me care, emotionally, intellectually, aesthetically. Now, this is about the role of identity in the influential story pattern. This is huge. Numerous studies have the same message. To influence someone, it is essential to connect to their underlying identity. State-of-the-art neuroimaging and cognitive neuropsychology have demonstrated how we create ourselves, our sense of self, through narrative. A specific region of the left forebrain specializes in personal self-narrating actions and thoughts. It's the brain origin of our identity, of our sense of self. So, what are your prospects' fundamental ideals and needs? To help them, to make them care, you need to know what they already most care about. Home, status, family, adventure, security, mastery. The most powerful stories began by identifying a core ideal or concern of the prospect. People buy what they identify with. I correspond with a couple of neuroeconomics labs, and they can hook somebody up, hook their brain up with fMRI imaging, and show them 10 objects. And by knowing about that person, they can pick exactly the one of the 10 that that person is going to buy, because it's what activates that portion of their brain that is about their identity. The biggest determinant of a purchase decision is when a product or service resonates with someone's identity. This activates that specific portion of the brain that synthesizes a sense of self. As a sidebar here, hear how none of this has been about you yet. And get ready, it will not be for the remainder of the four seminars. It's about your client. We'll come back to that, though. The goal is to sell people who believe what you believe, not just to tell people or sell people who need what you have. This is the unstated secret of Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs, Abraham Lincoln. This resonates with their core identity, their why. This is why you bought 10 of your last 10 books, because there's something about it, each one of them, that you identified with. When people feel a unity with others, they feel a shared sense of identity. This principle moves beyond simple similarities to embrace a sense of kinship, of being together, and a sense of unity to sacrifice personal interests for the welfare of the group. So finally, the answer to quiz number one, those who made the final round, sharing similar experiences as the interviewer. Just as with personal decisions, we buy, hire, or affiliate with what fits our identity. Now, the reason that I waited is because it engages you and makes your brain want to know what happens next. If you give the answer, you're done. One thing I would refer you to, because I won't go over it here, I have an archived blog called The Zeigarnik Effect. It's better than it sounds. Zeigarnik on my website, MentorPath, under the blog tab. And it's archived, The Zeigarnik Effect. I think it'll be worth your time to look it up. So let's talk about self-talk now. Here's an important factor. Cognitive studies have shown that the message itself is not what's directly responsible for change for someone buying your service or product. It's not what someone will say in response to your communication, but what they will say to themselves as a result of your communication with them. The direct result of change is due to self-talk. It's what a person says to him or herself after receiving a message. Think about, for example, how you more likely recall the comments you made to yourself more than the comments made to you in a particular discussion. Now, this is another reason that we want to avoid negative messages. Let's talk for a moment about the power of trust. Dr. Robert Maloney, a professor of ophthalmology at UCLA, was the first surgeon in North America to perform LASIK surgery. He had to help his patients overcome their fear of this unknown procedure, which involves cutting a flap on the surface of the eyeball, the cornea. He had to give full disclosure, as he was a physician and had to do that, including negative possibilities that could easily discourage people from getting procedures they needed, all without testimonials of success stories from former patients. He listened closely to his patients and discovered that the value proposition they actually cared most about was trust. They didn't want guarantees, they wanted connection. So Maloney began telling his patients, no matter what happens, I'm going to be here to take care of you. Then he'd tell them the story of what he expected would happen with their surgery. He would cover the necessary negative information about problems they might have to struggle with, but he would conclude his story with a resolution that satisfied their emotional needs. I am never giving up on you, even if there's a problem. We're in this together, walking side by side. His emphasis, his framework, was the story of relationship and connection. His call to action was for his patients to trust him enough to make their leap into uncertainty, and this was mediated by oxytocin, the neurochemical system of bonding and connection. By now, Dr. Mahoney has personally performed more than 50,000 vision-correcting surgeries. This, I believe, is what my mentor coaching clients need to sense from me, that I will believe in you until both of us do, and I will walk side by side with you into and throughout your success no matter what. Now, I don't say that, but it's always right there in the foreground of my experience. Trust is the foundation of developing rapport, of creating an influential story pattern. The second primary tool of influence, defining your story. In a dialectic between emotion and rationality, emotion wins, hands down. This is basic human nature. Our emotional side is like an elephant, and our rational side is like the rider on top. The rider holds the reins, looks like he's in charge, but if the elephant and the rider disagree about which direction to go, guess who picks? 180 pounds versus 12,000 pounds? Slam dunk. The first rule of telling stories is to give the listener an emotional experience. The heart is always the first responder, meaning the portal of entry is the amygdala in the midbrain. Metaphor and analogy, the most effective ways of doing that, are building blocks to evoke images and activate memory with all of its rich synergy and emotional associations. This brings the listener into the story as co-creator, and you always have the person you're helping, their story, as the point of reference to develop that. Define your story based on what do your followers really need. Define the specific needs of the people you want to influence with your body of work. Include the steps they need to address their problem. What's the first problem they need help solving? Once that problem is solved, where do they go next? Create a path of steps to help them realize their goals. So you're helping them solve their problems, services, products, and tools that your followers need. That's the only thing people will pay you for. Not a pretty website, not initials by your name, but something they can't quite do or be themselves. Every person and organization on the planet knows what they do. Some know how they do it, but few people or organizations know why they do what they do. And by why, I'm not talking about making a profit. What's your purpose? What's your cause, your belief? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? The inspired leaders and the inspired organizations, regardless of their size, industry, or focus, think, act, and communicate from the inside out. Perhaps more important than achieving a goal is who it makes you become to fulfill that goal. What this tells us is that people don't buy what we do, people buy why we do it. The goal is not to do business with everybody who needs what we have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what we believe. The why is your story. It's your mission. It should be bold, captivating, and inspirational. Marketing and brand loyalty are about emotion way more than reason. Phil Knight, founder and CEO of Nike, said, "You can't explain much in 60 seconds, but when you show a picture of Michael Jordan, you don't have to. It's that simple." Sometimes you can give somebody all the facts and figures, and they say, "Well, I know what all the information and the details say, but it just doesn't feel right." That phrase, "feel right," comes from the part of the brain that controls decision-making. Not language, not logic, not reason. Or sometimes you say you're leading with your heart or have a gut feeling. Well, your heart and your gut are not decision-making body parts, but metaphors for our limbic system. It's all happening in our limbic system. Since people respond to why you do what you do, the need to know why you do what you do is crucial for them to want to be a part of what it is that you do. Our most immediate intuitive response to someone is based on two things, confidence and connection. Confidence is the perception of strength and capacity to make things happen. It commands our respect. Confidence is a state of mind. We'll return to this. Connection is the client's sense that you understand their feelings, interests, and view of the world. Empathic resonance. When people project this warmth, we like and support them. Strength and connection are complementary, not mutually exclusive opposites. Amy Cuddy at Harvard did seminal work in this area to find that emotional responses to people who project both strength and warmth are the most effective and influential. The third primary tool of reference, your body of work. Here are three crucial questions for you to consider. What are your clients' primary needs and challenges? What makes you distinct, unique, and memorable? What's the premium the client gets by doing business with you? The sciences of mind and brain show us how good communication involves four elements. I know many of you have heard me redundantly say this and chide you and interrupt you. Clarity, brevity, simplicity, humanity. This is how language works best in both speaking and writing. These are originally from Robert Zinser in The Art of Writing, but it's the best for speaking as well, and we know that now from neuroscience. When Maurice Sendak wrote his book, Where the Wild Things Are, he worked for 10 years on a book with 338 words. Now, I've been accused of approaching that number per sentence. For example, when he's ready for the action to begin, he states very simply and vividly, let the wild rumpus start. Perfectly chosen, crisp, simple, powerful words. Competitive advantage requires creating a perception of exceptional differentiation and then accentuating it. When you're successful at accentuating your market uniqueness, the consumer will redefine the competition as less desirable. And you don't have to, you don't want to, you don't need to. Your brand is the cohesive story of your business, the identity of each product and service that people associate with the experience and expectation of your brand. The fourth primary tool of influence, mindset. Focus on the experience you deliver. A winning business engagement creates an emotional connection with the consumer to align with you. A story told by Simon Sinek, author of Start With Why, observed that all the signs of panhandlers had a similar message. I'm needy, please help me. Or some variation of that. He believed that by changing the homeless person's message, he could change the results. Simon found a street beggar in New York who was willing to work with him on his experiment. In talking with the woman, he learned that she received an average of $20 to $30 during each of her 8 to 10-hour days. If she got the $30, she considered it a great day. Simon convinced her to change her sign. Instead of focusing on her situation, homeless and hungry, he helped her craft a sign, if you only give once a month, next time think of me. In her first 2 hours, she collected $50. When the message shifted focus from her needs to focus on the experience of the passerby, the results increased significantly. This emphasizes that the focus needs to be on the person making the decision, not on the needs of the recipient, on the presenter or the seller. The messages we send are very subtle and often operate in a subliminal way. People are influenced, either positively or negative, at an unconscious level. When we send out messages that are about us, the quality, benefits, features of our services or product, we'll receive less response. The more we take as point of reference the recipients of that message and resonate with them, the more they'll be willing to join in and create mutual fulfillment. Think about the messages you communicate. Rather than beginning with the benefits of what you do or the facts and figures or anything about your qualifications, begin with the issues of the recipient, the challenges, the pain points and needs. What will someone pay you money for? They'll pay you for what they can't do or be themselves. Rather than telling someone about your experience, credentials, and training, focus on what's in it for them. Not one single patient ever came to work with me previously as a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst in 25 years because I was named one of the top doctors in America. No client has subsequently come to work with me in the last dozen years as a mentor coach because I've written 20 books. They don't care, and they shouldn't. They want to know I care about them. They want to know what's in it for them and get the sense that I confidently believe in both of us to do that. That's what gets to the yes, to answer an earlier question, that I'm loyally and passionately 100% dedicated to their success. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's from Teddy Roosevelt. It's been said that there are two things people don't want to know how they're made, laws and sausage. Add this as the third, all of your qualifications and degree and training and experiences. Your clients want to know, what's going to be in it for me? Remember that our brains release dopamine, the pleasure chemical, when we anticipate a positive experience, such as just before spending money or anticipating a positive result. This emphasizes the role of hope and expectation in your message. I was just collaborating with a buddy who's written a book that we're going to do some work on, a screenplay, and we were talking about this very principle, and he said, you know, Dave, that's amazing. That's exactly what Stephen King said as the secret to any book is the reader needs to know what happens next. That's what keeps people going. That's what fires dopamine. Your message and mindset both center on your why. The most common difference between the best and everyone else is a compelling reason for commitment, the why. Martin Luther King gave, "I have a dream" speech, not "I have a plan" speech. Meaning comes from contribution, something you believe in that makes a difference. You have to know what you're worth. I believe that when someone works with me in mentor coaching, that it will make a significant difference for the rest of his or her life. I don't necessarily say that, but it's conveyed. And I totally believe that, and I've seen that, at least for their lives to date. No strategy replaces integrity and caring to make a difference by connecting with others, to be genuine, to be authentic. Your why determines what you focus on as well as what you don't. The number one thing about the successful 1% of people, they are compelled by goals and dreams, having a why. People need to feel a sense of belonging. Before people decide what they think of your message, they decide what they think of you. The drive to affiliate is among our primary needs as humans. A fundamental effectiveness is the connection, to be understood, to make a difference for the other person. So here's a summary application of the influential story components, and then I'll open for discussion for questions and thoughts. the influential story components. From birth, our brain's primary goal is to make causal connections. If this, then that. The unconscious operating system. And remember that story pattern. If this, then that. We don't think in abstract, but in specific detail. When something's more easily pictured or experienced, it seems more real and believable. An active verb tense makes an experience more concrete and believable than a passive verb, because a passive verb is abstract. Our brains are hardwired to want to be a member of a group. A good brand shares the same impact as we become confident in the predictability and trustworthiness of a brand. Every brand is a story, including history, expectations, promises, and emotions. A brand gets wired into the midbrain of people who come to have contact with that. Think of the Nike swoosh. Think of any logo that you immediately have an association to. Your brand is a story. Stories are more important than facts in changing people's minds. Passion brands create passionate followers. We buy something when it activates the part of our brains associated with our sense of self. We buy what is consistent with our identities. And finally, and especially, your authenticity is crucial. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself, to authentically care. So, let the wild rumpus start. Okay, we're in discussion mode now, if you'll manage the background noise. Thoughts, questions, things you'd like to discuss a bit more? How does this sound? Go ahead.
I just have a quick question. This is Denise. I don't know if I maybe have the wrong syllabus, but the quiz, the example that you gave us was a little different.
What is your quiz number one?
Wharton School of Business surveyed several
thousand. I will get to that. So,
okay.
Hold on. Everything's there. I sent. And a slightly different version. So thanks for that. I hope that didn't distract you.
No, everything else I kind of got. Thank
okay.
you.
Questions, thoughts? Anything else you want to talk a little bit more about, or any impressions you have of what you've heard in terms of what you're doing or not doing? Let's talk a little bit more about your recommendation at the end of a discussion or a sample session employing those story components. That often is the most challenging for people I've trained and done mentor coaching with, especially those who are not accustomed to setting and collecting professional fees. Think of the model of any other professional, a doc, a dentist, a CPA, anyone. You have a discussion, and then the professional makes a brief, succinct recommendation, what's involved, and what the fee will be. Same thing that you can do, and I would suggest considering doing, look at the challenge, the development, and the resolution in your recommendation, and making it in a very succinct way about specifically recommending your professional services and what that would entail. So, opening up to thoughts and questions about any aspect. I wanted to leave a little bit more time in this initial seminar to be sure that we're on the same page, that we're really addressing some things, and you'll see in the outline the attraction, the coming attractions, but to really look at some fundamentals here about really resonating with your potential client. Here's an exercise that I'm going to engage with you later, but it will be a good reference point. Right now, draw a circle on your page. Just take a new page, draw a circle. Now, inside that circle, draw, and watch your background noise. Whenever you shuffle paper or do anything, it picks up on your microphone. So unless you're asking a question, would you mute, please, so that it doesn't give static or a background noise, especially if you're on a cell phone or computer. So inside that circle, draw a stick figure. Now, that stick figure is your potential client for any service or any product. Outside the circle, that client's probably not going to listen to you because you're like a bunch of other information. And some of you have heard this from me before. If information were enough, you know, we'd all work out every day, be thin, eat a lot of vegetables, have a lot of money saved up for the future, and there'd be a lot of librarians that would be billionaires. So information is not what clients want or need. Your credentials, your experience, your training, clients don't care about that, and they shouldn't, as I mentioned. Your challenge is to get inside the circle so the client will listen to you. If it's a group and it's product, you still have to resonate with that. That's what those first six bullets are about in the email you saw about this seminar series. Again, please mute because everything is being picked up even when you clear your throat. So please mute until you're ready to ask or comment. So your challenge is to get inside that circle to resonate with the client's experience so that you can go someplace new together. Now, a number of you heard this from me before. The best supervision, the best mentoring I've ever had about this process is many years ago when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, I offered an interpretation to a woman executive. And she didn't respond for a moment. And then finally, she got up on one elbow, looked back at me in my analytic chair, and she said, "No, Kruger, first you've got to be with me before I can go someplace new with you." The most brilliant and succinct synopsis of this principle about getting inside the circle. You have to resonate with what the client needs and wants before they're going to go through the pain of giving you money to get the pleasure of something better. So we're going to return to that, but this is the initial challenge that you have, to resonate with that experience and communicate it in some way. When I did the first couple of seminars the first couple of seminar series, I sent out emails and that sort of thing to announce it and got a nice response and some interesting people. When I converted it to the version that you saw, which I realized I hadn't applied the whole influence, persuasion, and neuromarketing to my own announcement, and when I revised it to follow those principles to put the challenges first and then how the challenges would be addressed by the seminar series, the first time I did that, I got 8 times as many people who subscribed. It works. So think about those principles and how you create a story together with a client based on the client's story of what they need. Whoever and whatever that client is, whatever profession you're in, whatever services you offer. Now, I responded a lot to not a question, so let's get back to your question and thoughts and comments. What else would be helpful to talk about?
This is Denise. I have a question. At one point you had commented that our ideal clients are going to be like-minded or believe what we believe.
Yeah.
So I guess as a coach, one of the things I'm struggling with is, if they already believe what I believe, why would they need, like, how can I sell them my service if they already believe that. Like, I thought that at one point we kind of need to work with people.
Just for succinctness, I want to interrupt you and ask you to say, in five words or less, let's make it seven. I feel really generous since it's late at night. In seven words or less, tell me what you believe. And I have seven fingers up, and I'll put one down for you. Tell me what you believe.
I believe that everyone has the power to live the life that they want to live.
Okay, thank you. Now, if I'm a client, I believe that too. So I'm going to seek you out if you can show me how you're going to help me do that. I believe that too, so I am drawn to you because I know that's possible, but I haven't been able to do that or be that myself. And if you can show me or tell me or convince me or just have the confidence that I'm going to come to you, that you can show me how to do that and how to actualize that, I'm down. So I have to believe, but then you have to convey, you have to resonate with that and help me know how we're going to do that together, how we're going to collaborate for me to do that in a brief, succinct way. Does that make sense to you now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And remember the law of attraction. People are drawn to people who think and feel and experience, who have similar energy fields. But it doesn't end there. It's not ask, believe, and receive. It's ask, believe, and create. There's a white paper on the neuroscience of the law of attraction, the neuroscience of the secret, on my website under articles. So you have to find a way to collaborate together to co-create a plan about how to get there, because that's what they haven't been able to do. They know that there's all kind of potential out there, but it seems like other people can do it, but not me. So we're going to talk more about how to develop that story and how to look at their surface and their shadow story that may be going in opposite directions that keep them from getting there, but that's about how to apply it. You said it in a very succinct way, and that's why they're seeking you out. That's where you have to be ready in a brief, succinct, specific way to engage them, to get in that circle, and to co-create a plan together about what you're going to do to help them achieve that. And probably beyond what they can imagine, because we can only envision from our current experience. It's not uncommon a client gets further than they ever imagined because they can only imagine from their current system. You're going to help them expand and grow that system in ways that they might not have imagined and deal with the success of doing that, which is an equal challenge. We're going to talk about that in a final seminar. So thank you all very much. We're out of time. We'll pick up right here next time. I look forward to doing that.
Can you tell us your website?
My website is mentorpath.com, mentorpath.com.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank all of you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.